Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. First off, as many of you know, early this month I was diagnosed with double pneumonia, which was not fun. Don't get that. Now that I'm over it, I want to say thank you to everyone who supported me. Cards, thoughts, prayers, they were so inspiring and appreciated during the time I recuperated. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know anyone who's lost Jesus? Can you help them find him and welcome them into our Catholic Christian family, where family is everything, and where there will always be love for God and love for one another? Our gospel from Luke today is the story of how Mary and Joseph search for days to find their lost 12-year-old son. Here we're given just a glimpse of a few days in the life of the most holy family, which we can say is the ideal family given to us by God as a model to strive for. As an ideal model for a family, we see a married father and a mother blessed with the gift of a child from God. And being a holy family, Mary and Joseph are dedicated to following the Mosaic law and teaching it to their son, Jesus. And this law would have included the commandments, of course, but teaching the difference between good and evil, how to be obedient to parents and respectful to others, thinking about striving to become an ideal family, brought to my mind a large frame sign that hangs in our living room on the wall, which my wife purchased, and simply says, "Family is everything." Now, I know with this sign, along with some other things my wife has hanging on the wall, she hung them to promote, especially to our four grown children and their own families, the idea of Catholic Christian unity, common purpose, and strength within a family. And to let our children know that they're part of something that's bigger than just themselves. About my own family, which I know is very far from perfect, very far, or from the model that Jesus and Mary and Joseph demonstrated for us. However, here are a few of my own family's ideals that my wife and I have strived for, and I suspect many of your own families have strived for, and maybe even a few that the Holy Family would agree with. First, the family, it's a place where anyone can say anything. They can make any comment they want, and they know that their thoughts will be respected and they will be shown dignity. Second, the family is where, although you may not agree with another member, you will always love them, forgive them if needed, and do your best to be a resource and a source of goodwill towards them. And finally, our family always prays with and for one another, rejoicing when the members are doing something that goes well and empathizing with them when maybe things didn't go so well. Still, even with all these things within our own family, there are disagreements in philosophies, how to raise children, what responsibilities for adults are the most important, what priority are they, and so on and so on. But now let me turn for a minute to all you parents out there, those that are parents. Have you ever lost one of your kids? Anybody? How did that make you feel? Panicked? Worried? Angry? Angry at yourself or your spouse or maybe someone who was supposed to be watching your child? What did you do? Did you become like a detective and start asking questions like, where was the last time you saw them? And when was that? Who were they with? What were they doing? How long have they been gone? I'm not sure how many of these thoughts that may have run through the minds of Mary and Joseph as they searched for Jesus, but we know that after they find Jesus, Mary says, your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. Anxiety. When my second son was maybe 10 or 11 years old, my wife and I lost him after he played in a Little League baseball game at Waldron. We lost him. My wife had brought him to the game and was managing our other three small children, and I had driven separately from work, watched the game. And after the game, my wife gathered those three children up, and she headed for home, assuming that I would bring our little ball player home. Bad assumption. I thought she had him. Anyway, once we were both home, I immediately had grass to mow, so I went out and started mowing grass. And my wife went in the house and started to make dinner. And each of us, assuming the other parent had brought this son home. Well, about 45 minutes later, a kind neighbor pulled in our driveway and says, did you guys lose anything? Well, no, not that I know of. Out jumps our son. She said she recognized him walking home from the ballpark about a mile away from the ballpark. And she convinced him that he should get in with her and she would take him home. She knew where he lived. Thank goodness for her. In our case, my wife and I, we didn't have much time to think about playing detective like Mary and Joseph. We just looked at each other and with kind of unspoken words said, how could this happen? And, you know, we thought we were good parents. What if he had been hit on that country road by a car, or maybe picked up by a stranger who didn't mean him a good? We both hugged our son, and we're so thankful our neighbor brought him home. Thank goodness. Of course, Waldron, it really doesn't compare with losing Jesus in Jerusalem. At the time of Jesus, Jerusalem had about 25,000 inhabitants. And during one of the three Jewish big festivals they had, like this was Passover, that would have swelled to four or five times that amount. So 100,000 people, they're looking for Jesus. Also in Jesus' time, many who attended the feast, they often did travel in caravans. We heard that in the gospel, rather than as individuals or small groups, because there were robbers that laid in wait along the paths looking to find people and take advantage of them. In the caravans, children and women usually were in the front, and the men were in the back. And so Jesus, being 12 years old, he would have been kind of a little old for a child, a little young to be considered a male adult at that time. But I could see where Mary and Joseph, they could have been at different ends of the caravan, each thinking the other one had him, kind of like my wife and I. So Jesus is found, and he replies to Mary's statement, "Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." Jesus says, "Did you not know I needed to be in my father's house?" Now, wow, think about that. In my father's house, Jesus, perhaps for the first time, is identifying himself as the Son of God or the Son of the Father. And with this, inferring his own divine destiny. Our gospel goes on to say that Mary and Joseph did not understand what he said to them. However, I am sure that they respected what he said and they pondered what it meant. Remember, Jesus was maturing, growing up to be the Redeemer of the world. We don't know what other words that may have been said between Jesus and Mary, but I'm sure Mary and Joseph were thanking God that their family was united again. Now let's think about Jesus and our own immediate families, our extended families, our personal families, and those of our Catholic Christian family, and even out to the largest family that includes everyone in the world, our human family. Have you ever known someone who's lost Jesus? Maybe stopped believing in him, or maybe didn't ever really know him. As Mary and Joseph had a parental responsibility to look for their lost son Jesus, what is our responsibility? As a member of God's family, to help someone find Jesus. No one asked my neighbor to stop and look for my son, and pick him up, walking home, bring him back to his family. They just did it. They did what we heard in one of the optional readings, our second reading, optional second reading today from St. John that said, "And his commandment is this, we should believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he commanded us." My friends in Christ, there are many people all around us, very close to us, who have lost Jesus in their lives, and they need a member of God's family to help guide them home, home to where Jesus patiently awaits for them. They're coming home, home to someone who will love them and respect them, meet them where they are, to someone who will show them that Jesus is alive and well. At our Eucharistic Congress this past summer, it was emphasized that if everyone in our Catholic family could just walk with one, find one, walk with one who needed Jesus, we could make a tremendous difference in this world of ours. Do you know someone who's lost Jesus? Can you help them find him and welcome them into our Catholic Christian family? We're family. Family is everything. And where there will always be love for God and for one another.